at Pure Gym, whatever you're here for, we're here for it. So whether you're here to meet your goals or meet your gals, take a bit of me time or a weight off. Getting back on the bike.
Last one, big push.
Or spilling the tea while you spin. They said what? We're here for it. With 50% off your first month and no joining fee for a limited time. Whatever you're here for, we're here for it. Pure Gym. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify's made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
This is the place with Spartans. This is the place where sports opinions collide. That is sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Beans. Joining me on the show is Shelton, Nick, and FIFO. Shelton, I was going to say FIFO's on the way. But we have, I was just thinking about the rundown of the show. But it's Nick, Shelton, and Spike. Let me go ahead and get that out. First, in terms of who's here on the show, Q said he'll be stopping by as well. So I'm sure he has a lot to say. He hasn't been on for a minute. And yeah, man, we're glad to have you guys on board for another week of NBA playoff talk. Just as a quick programming announcement, we will be doing the draft live. I can say that maybe not the entire first round. I say that every year and we end up damn near staying on for the entire first round. But for the picks that matter, I'll say that. But it seems like things may get interesting if player don't go by pick number 21.
Yeah, I'm saying we may have to do the whole first round to see where that motherfucker gonna go.
I know, man.
Because I don't know how, but my Reddit thread is filled with Steelers news and all that, and they going back and forth.
You look like Mike Tomlin.
Chill out. They going back and forth on this whole Shador shit.
Everybody is. He's all up and down from 3 to 36. So,
and that's a huge drop off of payday.
It is.
You can go from making like 28 million to 10.
But I don't know we ain't talking about this, but I was going to say, I'm wondering if they're trying to guide him in a certain direction. Because it's happened before. His dad could be trying to get him with Mike Tomlin or somebody like that.
Well, we're
going to
cover
to the draft. Okay.
We're going to cover it later on in the show.
Gotcha.
But anyway, we normally start our show off with the best performance of the week, but the person that does it is not here.
Oh, I forgot. This is why I was like, when he said that, I'm like, bro, something ain't sit right.
It scared you.
I'm like, bro, he gonna hold up everything.
And then you normally reiterate it to him, and I hear you when you
see why, like, you see why I reiterate shit, because I'm like, bro, like, nigga.
Yes. and that's why.
Yeah, Jalen, we're gonna have to talk about this in the meeting. You know what I'm saying?
For sure, because it's probably for a really stupid ass reason.
I can do a best performance of the week, but we can
remember. I can't. Because
it is. I mean, I already know what it is.
That's funny as hell.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Had to clip the dog's toenails. Oh, man.
Damn, y'all sick.
Might as well have been. But anyway, man, let's talk about the play-in tournament. The NBA play-in tournament wrapped up on Good Friday last week, and we now know the final four teams seated in the 7 and 8 spots of the playoffs for both the Eastern and Western conferences. Golden State and Memphis in the West. So Golden State is number 7, Memphis is number 8, and we have Miami and Orlando in the East, with Miami claiming the 7th spot and Orlando claiming the eighth spot. However, we gotta pay our respects to the teams that flamed out and ultimately wasted our time. This year's honorary first round losers, we have the Mount Rushmore of the 2025 NBA playoff losing spot. We have the Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bulls, Sacramento Kings, and Dallas Mavericks. All four teams that if I said those names, you could probably immediately think of issues that they have for somewhere or another. What is one suggestion you would give to each of these franchises to help them improve and come back stronger next season? So we are doing our exit interviews on these teams. Shelton, no, Spike, I'm going to start with you first.
Get the bullshit out the way.
Get him out the way, bro.
I was hoping to go last. Now, if I'm I start with the Hawks. If I'm the Hawks, I trade Trae Young. I know he's good. I know that he had led the league in assists this year, I believe. But still at the same time, they have a younger nucleus. They have someone in – is it Jalen – what's the dude's name?
Jalen Johnson,
who could be their number one. So I need to put players around him, and I need to trade Trae Young while I can still get the highest value for him. So that's what I would do. I would get rid of him. The next one, or the other teams?
Chicago, Sacramento, and Dallas.
Sacramento is doing all right with LaVine and DeRozan. They still need a number one. Those guys are 2 and 3. If they can get a number one in addition to having Sabonis, then they will be good. But I don't know if that will happen just because their ownership sucks. And Chicago, like, who cares, bro? No one cares about Chicago. I do like dude from North Carolina, though. I think he's really good, but I don't know.
Kobe White.
I don't know if they can put anything around him to make Chicago relevant, especially after they traded LaVine. Mm-hmm. And that's it for the exit interviews for me for those teams.
You don't care about Dallas?
Yeah.
I mean, they got Anthony Davis. They're going to fire Nico. Yeah, and if I got Anthony Davis and I got the other young big that they have, if you get a GM in there that I hate to shit on Nico because I don't really think that he deserves anything he's been getting. But he don't.
This the owner. But, it's really the owner. People keep on
right.
Nico's taking the fall for the owner,
bro. Agreed.
Yeah.
If they can get another person that can play with Anthony Davis, like you're going to be that's a playoff team. Anthony Davis is still that good, and he ain't been as non-durable as we thought he's been throughout his whole career. He's been playing games. I think the year before this season, he might have played in all 82 games or 78 games or something like that. So you have a good prospect in Anthony Davis. It's not Luka. That was a mistake in the trade. But still, if I got Anthony Davis and I got the other big guy that they have that played well for them in the finals, then, I mean, I'm straight. But
Kyrie's
Kyrie's still on the team.
But he coming back from a major injury.
I don't know what that's going to be at 33 coming back off ACL.
So for me, and I agree with a lot what you said with the Hawks. I agree. Definitely need to blow it up. It's time. The Hawks have been here before where they're stuck in purgatory, where you're winning enough games to make it to the play-in and the playoffs, but you're not winning enough games to get out of the first round. So they're going to be stuck right there, and you can't get a draft pick to kind of advance your team. So they're just kind of stuck in the middle. I agree. It's time to move on from Trae and get a king's ransom for him. You get a lot more than what you would if you wait. So build around Dyson Daniels and Johnson. Build around those two and figure it out at this point. As far as Sacramento goes, same story with them. And I think they really just need a point guard. You got to replace De'Aaron Fox. Losing him was huge because you had your 1-2 punch. But you're going to have to figure something out either in free agency or trade. But you need a point guard on that team that can kind of be a catalyst to kind of get the ball to those guys. But we know what Zach LaVine and DeRozan have done. We saw it on that list. I saw it when it came out, too, how they've been kicked out in the play-in, what, 4 times in a row, something like that?
3 times.
Something crazy. Oh, yeah, they had the 3-peat. So, get them a point guard in there to help them out. And you build around Sabonis and the point guard again like you did with – and you got 2 bona fide veterans to – that should work at that point. But I don't know who that answer is. I'm going to have to think on that one. But you need a point guard there.
Hold on real quick. I'm going to add into what I just saw about Sacramento. So I don't know if you saw, but Jeremy Lamb has been dating Reva Vanderdeep. I can't even say his name, but the owner's daughter. Mm-hmm. And ever since he started dating the owner's daughter, he has been having a say in a lot of the personnel decisions. And that was part of De'Aaron Fox asking for a trade, because he was like, I need clarity as to who's actually steering the ship. And now Domantas Sabonis is actually asking those same questions. So we could see a Domantas trade in the offseason or in the early beginning of next season. So I think the Kings are just going to blow it up, mainly because they're inept. So mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to be able to build around Domantas.
I still hope so. I hope they do. I don't think that they are as far off as some of the other teams. When we look at the Chicago Bulls, I like the young core. I like Kobe. I like what Kobe does. That team is tough. They should have played it. They were playing good down the stretch. I believe Chicago would have made it in the playoffs and made a little noise. I ain't saying they were going to win the first round, but I thought they'd be a challenge in the first round, if nothing else. So they let me down in that play-in game. They really, really, really did with the Heat. Heat just blasted them. So I wasn't expecting that whatsoever. I thought Giddy and White would play well together, but it didn't work out. So for them, I think, you know, you get a season under their belt together, and we can see how that works. As far as Dallas goes, I agree with everything that Lou said. We know that Nico is a scapegoat. I guarantee you Nico has been paid handsomely for that under the table. I guarantee you he has. And that's a league move. I don't care what nobody says. There's no other reason to make that trade. But you hope that you get everybody back healthy. You hope so. That's the biggest thing. You got a nice core of players to move forward if everybody can come back. But that's a big if. And we'll just see what the payoff is for what they did, because they're going to get something.
For you, I was going to ask FIFA to catch him up. We doing exit interviews. What's one thing that you will do for each of the playing teams that lost to help improve them for next year? We got Atlanta, Sacramento, Chicago, and Dallas.
Atlanta, I don't disagree at this point. You know, blow it up. Trey is nice, but Trey got to be your second or third best player if you're going to have a championship level squad. And right now he's been your best player since he's been there. And that's an issue. And here's the thing, Dyson Daniels, I really like him. To me, an upgrade from Hunter and the white boy that eventually got moved to Chicago. I can't think of his name, red hair.
Hooter.
Yeah. So, they just got to blow it up, see what you can get. And here's the thing, Shelton, they got the number one pick in the wrong draft. If they would have got it in this draft, you know what I'm saying? Now you pair Cooper Flagg with Trae Young, then I say, hey, you know, give me a couple of more mango seasons with that. In terms of the Sacramento Kings, in my opinion, you already started the process of blowing it up with De'Aaron Fox. Continue the process. And move on from DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. You saw what that looked like in Chicago. I don't understand why you thought that would make any difference in the West. So get what you can for those two guys as well. Blow it up in Sacramento. Who are the other two teams?
Chicago and Dallas.
Chicago and Dallas. Dallas is really about health. I also saw this story amidst Nico Harrison and, you know, obviously everything that you said, Shelton, I don't disagree. But there's also been another underlying thing where Nico, like, yes, man. So the training staff, the person that he hired didn't have certain qualifications and certifications to be an NBA trainer, but he hired him anyway. And, you know, I can't remember the player's name, but there was a player that they were trying to rush back from an ankle injury. And when that player got outside, you know, advice, they were saying he needed to stay out 6 to 8 weeks because it was actually a fracture and not a high ankle sprain as the person that Nico hired. Also, that
sounds like a smear campaign, people.
Well, not. Well, because also you look at
– I hate normal black men.
Nah. You look at Luka, he had his own training staff as well. And that was part of what Nico didn't like. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. You could look into it if you want. And then what was the last squad, Nick?
Dallas. I mean, not Dallas, Chicago.
Chicago. I agree with Shelton. I like the core. You just got to keep building. You know, like you're right there. Kobe White for the last couple of seasons has been bubbling. I think next year should be the year that he establishes himself as a starting point guard of the league, a legit starting point guard in the league. I like Josh Giddey. I like the other tall European cat that they got. I don't remember his name, but I know he got hella game. He got bounced for a white boy too. So I like what they got going on. Maybe they need to move on from Vucevic and just continue to get younger. But you know, I would say just study the course for the Bulls.
Real quick, blow it up for Atlanta, blow it up for Sacramento, keep the same for Dallas for one more season. In Chicago, I really don't even know what to do with Chicago. You can't really blow it up, so there ain't shit to blow up in that motherfucker.
Nah. they already did.
That's what I'm saying. Like what they're doing, I guess just
you got to study the course. Exactly.
The same thing I would say for Dallas and Chicago. Like just study the course until the next season.
Mm-hmm. Dallas has a chance to work.
Only if Kyrie comes.
The only reason I'm not worried about Kyrie is because Kyrie's game is not predicated on his athleticism. It's based off his smarts.
But his quickness.
I don't think he'll lose his quickness. I think if anything, it'll hurt his athleticism. But his quickness will still be there, I think. I would think anyway.
I don't know if he can stop on a like, you know what I'm saying? Like him stopping on a dime, him doing like he does a lot of like movement. Without being athletic, so I don't know. And he's 30 plus too. Like,
yeah,
Kyrie old. He ain't young.
Yeah. What about you, Ken?
With Dallas, I think it's a little bit darker than what you're saying, Shelton, in terms of a league wide conspiracy. And making Luka go over there, I don't think it's that. I believe the reports about Dallas intentionally tanking that franchise to get that casino or whatever it was there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that more than the other thing you're saying, and that's something that will be worth monitoring to make him trade Luka for that reason. What I'm watching is whether or not he was right. And we'll find that out in the first round. We'll have an answer real soon. And if that happens, then what's there to say? Because then you have to judge the moves based on the next couple of years, which, you know, I'm cool on that. It is what it is. But I do agree with you guys that I think that situation can work a lot easier than the other three teams, you know, because they just have to deal with a lot of unfortunate injuries. And it may be the same thing that happened next year with Kyrie and AD. So that is TBD. Mm-hmm. I think a couple of roster moves here or there, they can at least be a playoff team with the right. Well, Kid's still there, right? So, yeah, they should be a at least a playoff team or something. With Chicago is a mess. And Buselli is cool, but he's just got there. Giddey is having a triple-double, I guess, here and there. But they are just stuck. Because they're not awful and they're not good. They're just like right there on the fringe of being one or the other. They just have no winners there. And that is the issue. And they have a lot of work to do because there's not one guy that they can look at and say, he's our guy. And we're going to build around him. Whereas in Atlanta, you have that. The problem with them is that they have not done a good job of building a team around Trey Young. So Trey, Cooper Flagg would have been cool. I agree with you on that, FIFO, if that would have happened. The guy that they had, I think he just needs more seasoning and time. Mm-hmm. Jalen Johnson is good. But what else are you going to build around this team to be secondary and third scorers on the team? That is the issue. When I was watching them play, I was just like, it's a bunch of guys, and Trey's going to get his number. He's going to get his assists. He's going to do all that. And it's going to be good enough to keep this team around, but not good enough to do anything significant in the way that they did a couple of years ago when they went to the ECF, in part because Doc Rivers choked it away.
Ken, you know what the issue is right now with this roster is that the timelines don't match up. Trey Young right now is in his prime. He should be compete. He should be on a team that's competing. And you got Dyson Daniels in his second year. You got the Frenchman that was just drafted, you know, but then you have really good role players, you know, like Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert is a really good role player, but he should be on a championship level roster to really have true impact. And he's just not. So he's just holding them back. You know what I'm saying? So they are in a weird place. It's hard to say trade Trey Young, but it's like, what other option at this point do you have? You traded everybody else that was on his timeline.
I think you're right, and that's why they got rid of Landry Fields, because he messed up the timeline. Spike?
I was going to say, I agree with FIFO, but does that speak to Trey Young's ability to being a true number one? If you have these young players who are good, you got a defensive player of the year nominee. We got Jalen Johnson, who we were talking about, or whatever his name is, that we were talking about, who is clearly a number two at least talent, and Trey Young can't get them over the hump.
Like, because there are other issues going on there that he can't overcome. You know, he's a small point guard. Jalen Johnson will play well, then he'll get hurt. And FIFO, you're right. When I was looking at this team play and I saw Caris LeVert, that's when I was like, oh, they got some issues in terms of roster construction, because he ain't a guy you just bring in. He's a rebuilding sort of, you know, just go play on this team sort of guy.
He's not a guy, but I would say who's the guy that played for Denver a couple of years ago, came from the Lakers. I want to say last name Richardson. You know, I'll be bad with names. I know he played for the Lakers, then he played for Denver. I know he's on another squad now. What's his name? But he's like that, Ken. You look for the Detroit Pistons, like somebody like Tim Hardaway. He's a guy that can give you 10 points one game, 20.
You talk about Caldwell Pope?
Yes, Contavious Caldwell Pope. Thank you. Like he's like a KCP type of guy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's my point. Yeah, he's not ready. He's not to be on a team like this.
No, he's not the type of player you put on a rebuilding team. He's the type of player that is going to contribute to wins. And the Hawks just aren't there. So that's why when I look at this roster, I agree with you, Ken. It's just a hodgepodge. You got a superstar point guard, and then you got these other guys that fill a need, but they're not ready to really take on that mantle just yet, right? And then you got the guys that you would want to fill out a roster that are going to be super solid vets. And it's like, it just don't work. And then the crazy part about it is, if you trade Trey Young, what do you get in return?
Right.
And does that really reset the Atlanta Hawks in a positive way? Because think about this. We haven't had a great Hawk drafted by the Hawks since, and I know this is going to sound crazy, me calling him great, but Josh Smith and Dominique Wilkins. Those were like literally the last two. That's crazy.
And to trade Trey, which I disagree with trading Trey, but I understand the sentiment of people saying that. But to do that, you have to look at Resharsh and Jalen Johnson and be like, okay, we got something with these guys and we can build around them. If you do not see that, then you got to keep Trey, because that's the only reason. At least you're going to sell tickets. And he'll give you a hope of something. But the last team, the Kings, they're very, very dysfunctional. This has been documented throughout history. And with that little small blip of success, the dysfunction arrived again. And, I mean, you had Fox and Sabonis. You had a team that's winning. And it seems like this team does not want to win. And they care more about other stuff than actually winning. and Vivek Ramaswamy, whatever his name is.
Ranadive. Like,
who?
Vivek Ranadive.
Ranadive, okay. Oh, I was saying the other guy in politics. But yeah, when you got, as long as the management are in place, then that team will not be successful. And those are things that when it comes to the Kings, this is where you have to start looking at the management and holding them accountable for the things that they're doing to the team and not just the team sucking. So, yeah.
Hey, Jalen, send Q a relevant background so we ain't got to look at that bullshit that he got.
Hey, Tweezy, yeah, them Euro names, bro. they be slapping the shit out of me.
Cam about two generations away from saying make basketball great.
I don't know if you're that far.
I'm just saying, we get to that point, bro. That's why we need Ant-Man to save us, bro.
American shit. But yeah, so Q, quick thoughts on what the four teams you see at the bottom of the screen, if you can see it, should do. Just one quick point for each one. So we got the Hawks, Dallas, Chicago, and the Kings. What should they do?
Don't give a fuck about
neither. If you care.
Dallas got to pray for Cooper Flagg. Atlanta got to ship Trae Young out, preferably to Orlando or somewhere else. The Kings got to blow it up and admit defeat, trying to repeat the same mistake as Chicago by bringing in LaVine and DeRozan. It's just asinine. And then Chicago, I like Coby White a lot. They just got to kind of blow it up, in my opinion, too, because I just don't see much there besides Coby. And I do like, what's his name? I like the Euro guy. I think his name is
the tall guy.
I like Buzella. Yeah. I fuck with him. He has a nice little spice to his game, but I would keep Coby and keep Buzelis, but mostly everybody else. Giddy. Kind of, and Giddy.
You got to keep them three.
He's cool. Everybody's expendable, though, so you got to move off it.
Gotcha. All right. Let's see. What else we got here? All right, well, that'll be that. We'll come back with the first game discussions about things we've seen. Apparently, the Bucks are making a run, but we'll get into the next segment right after this quick break.
If you are a fan of gaming, then you need to check out Dead End Gaming. Dead End Gaming brings you honest reviews, hilarious moments, and deep dives into the conversations take place in the industry. No sugarcoating, just real gamers gaming. Check out Dead End Gaming, the world's most dangerous gaming crew, on Twitch or YouTube. Just look for Dead End Gaming ATL. That's Dead End Gaming ATL.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics are saying a stunning, breathtaking triumph of savings. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compare Market in cinemas all year.
That sounds like a great movie.
Sergey, it's no movie. It's 2-for-1 offer on cinema tickets.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compare Market. Simples.
When you take out a qualifying product to Compare Market, one membership per year, participating cinemas, two standard tickets only, cheapest free. T's and C's apply.
We're not doing a watch.
That's me.
Mm-hmm.
That's you.
All right. On watch. Ken, I went back and forth on this. But I was gonna wait for what I have to say about this organization till Thursday during the draft. So I'll just wait for then. But today, since the game is on tonight, I wanted to talk about JJ Redick. To me, JJ Redick is on watch. FIFO, I wasn't the only one who called him out. If you looked at the Twitterverse, you've seen that Irvin Magic Johnson has something to say after game one. Called his ass out. Said this motherfucker don't know how to make no adjustments. He was just letting them do whatever the fuck they wanted to do. And he was surprised by that. I necessarily wasn't, because, like, as y'all know, from the beginning, once JJ got hired, I was like, he's been on watch for me, because I'm like, I got to see if he's really a good coach. Because they got Darren Ham out of the paint. and they shitted on him, even though he took him to the Western Conference Finals. I said, that's the bar for me for JJ. He has to at least get them there for me to say, like, okay, he's a decent to good coach. As Ken mentioned earlier, this series is key, very key for not only just the Luka trade, but how we see LeBron's Laker tenure kind of wind down. Because I don't know how much longer you would say he got left in the NBA. I don't know if this will be his last franchise in the league, you know, that he goes to. I don't know if he'll go back to Cleveland just to do like
three or four.
Yeah. So over the next 3 to 5 years, LeBron is only obviously going to get older and going to, you know, his athleticism will diminish. His injuries will increase. And this will all be on the, you know, on the watch of JJ Redick. Now, people have lauded him for the defense, which, you know, has been up and down a lot this season. But this is a big series for me to see what he can do. They're playing at home in about the next 20, 30 minutes again. And that's a must-win game, because if they go down 0-2 in the series, I think it's a wrap. Even though, you know, of course, we've seen teams come back from down 0-2, but with the way they played in game one, if it plays again like that, I just don't see what any adjustments they can make currently with this roster to combat what Minnesota's throwing at them. So to me, JJ Redick's on watch to see what he does, what he cooked up over the next few days. And that's how I would judge him as a head coach.
How far do you need to see him go this year?
They got to get to the Western Conference Finals based off of what people have said.
In his first year as the head coach?
Yeah, why not? People got him winning the West.
Okay. All right.
That's the expectations that people got. I can't. It ain't me. You know what I'm saying? It ain't me.
You sound like you.
I'm just asking. I didn't know. Yeah, I was like trying to remember Darvin Ham's.
It was especially since when Denver fired Mike Malone. There was something else that happened, but it was like, this is the most wide open that the Lakers have for a path to the Western Conference Finals or to the NBA Finals. I don't really see it getting any easier from them moving forward. So if they don't get there this year, you can make a case like, when are they going to get there over the next few years?
Y'all think Bron's going to play 4 more years?
Yeah.
Four?
No. I think he'll play. I think three is a guarantee.
I was thinking two, but then again, at the same time, I have no data for that, so I'm just guessing.
I think four is where it's at.
I think four is too much. I think three is he's gonna do at least 1 year.
Why is four too much? Why is four too much if he's still producing at this level?
Because the only thing he can do, FIFO, if he's not winning these games. Now, if they're winning, then that's something different. But based off the way this team is currently constructed, they're not going to do anything but hurt his legacy. So. I don't see how it would benefit him to play 4 more years. Unless they're winning.
I won't say hurt his legacy though.
Yeah.
I think as long as he's producing, his legacy is going to remain intact. Now, if he goes, let's just say he goes to the finals for 4 years and loses all four, that hurts him more than not making the finals and still, you know, stacking up the stats.
We can have that conversation when he exits the playoffs. Gotcha. Let's talk about the first games that we had a chance to watch. Since the playoffs kicked off, with round one of the 2025 NBA playoffs officially starting last Saturday. We got a full day of great basketball from start to finish outside of the Bucks-Pacers series. However, let's start out west to discuss how both LA teams took L's in game one. We're going to start with the Clippers. Did the Clippers miss an opportunity to steal a game on the road, or did the Nuggets and Russell Westbrook take care of home court? We do know that the Clippers tied that game up last night, so they made amends for it. But winning by 3 points. So overall thoughts on how you guys think that first game did, and just any new thoughts on the series so far?
It's a beautiful series so far.
It is.
Really a heavyweight bout. We're seeing more defense more than anything, which is interesting because you have guys like Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Jokic, which you would imagine like we would be seeing 120, 111 as like end of scores, like by the end of, by the start of the fourth quarter, damn near how much firepower is on these teams. But I think what we're seeing is more defense, and just want to give some observations. I think that for this season, I think Chris Dunn has been, if not the best, he's a top three defender of guards in the league. I think James Harden has won a lot more respect from a lot of people, even though he hasn't had two stellar games in a row. I think just him being able to orchestrate the offense at the way he's doing, it, you got to give props and the longevity and him reinventing his game. I think that Kawhi Leonard is never a problem of can he play. It's never an issue of what is he going to do when he's healthy. It's always, can he just make it through a series? Can he just make it through and give us the performances that we know? The dude is an absolute machine. He's insane. The mid-range he gets to a spots on the floor is so efficient, and it's a beautiful line drive shot to watch. It just bullseye every time. And the true shooting percentage, masterful. Jokic has been uncharacteristically sloppy with the ball in some key spots. I think that's some lack of continuity from Mike Malone not being there, but that's a whole separate issue. I think that there's not many others that are coming along with Jokic in terms of MPJ, who had a pretty good game last night, 15-15. I appreciate that effort. And Jamal Murray still trying to find himself a little bit. But Russell is, you're going to live and die by him. So you kind of just got to take the corner three of six from three. And you also got to take almost turning the ball over with, 40 seconds left. So this is going to be about wills, and it's going to be about who makes the most mistakes. So the game one, Clippers gave it up, made too many mistakes. Nuggets capitalized. Game two, the Nuggets made a lot of mistakes. Clippers capitalized. Who's going to win the turnover battle in game three? That will most likely decide it. And I think this is going seven.
Go ahead.
I was going to agree with you with the Denver Clippers series. It's the most evenly matched out of all of the series that we see. And this is going to be a chess match from beginning to end. You're seeing Kawhi play some of his best basketball that he's played in a long time. Well, like you said, too, he's playing basketball finally without pain, because he talked about that, you know, being, you know, able to walk on those knees and do the things that he needed to do. But he's made, and I talked about it earlier in the chat, watching him play has been beautiful because he's making contested shots. These aren't layups and, you know, breakaway dunks. These are contested shots, and he's hitting them with consistency. Shot, 79% last night? So he's been doing everything that he needs to do to win these games, and he's looking like an MVP out there. Like he's the best player on the court. And, you know, you're going to have to see some things. I look at a person like Michael Porter Jr. in this series. He's going to be a key because he's going to have to step up and play the full game as hard as he can, as best as he can. And he did a decent job the other night. I mean, last night, I think he had like 12 rebounds. So he was actually on the boards and doing some things that they needed for him to do. But you need him and Gordon to step up and contribute. And you do need Joker got to be more consistent. He can't have those turnovers. He can't be lackadaisical with the basketball. He's got to make plays and be consistent. They need him to be the best Joker he can be. And that's the only way they're going to win the series. But I love this series. The Lakers series is approving for Ant. Ant got to step up.
But we haven't gotten to the Lakers yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we did.
Oh, you good.
Q, I will say this in regards to the others. They are having moments. I do agree that we haven't seen the Jamal Murray of old where, you know, he's matching the play of Joker in these playoffs. We can't say that he's been in and out and he just hasn't had consistency. I agree with you. The coaching thing is a whole nother conversation. But I feel that Denver is good enough as long as they get key moments from their key guys, Michael Porter Jr., right? Like watching the game, we didn't know if he was going to finish the game or they were going to stick with Russell Westbrook, right? Because Russ made a big three in game one, made a big three last night as well. But as long as the guys that are on the court, not named Joker, as long as they contribute in timely ways, I think they'll be fine against the Clippers, mainly because, like I said last night in the chat, playoff Harden is in effect. That guy, look, if Kawhi doesn't play like Kawhi did last night, they're not going to win this series. Like, Kawhi has to play the rest of this series at that level, and that's going to be damn near impossible. James Harden needs to show up, but I don't believe in it because all these years, we've seen this man choke and choke and choke on the in the playoffs. It is what it is. So I'm going based off of history. I'm just going based off of history. Now, the others for the Clippers, they need to step up. You know, Norman Powell, you know, typically the others play better at home. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see how the others play. But Kawhi needs to keep this level of play up for them to even have a chance. And that's going to be difficult to do, to play at that level the rest of the series.
You know, also, I want to say that Zubac is playing his way into a lot of, what do you want to say, top eight big conversations, top nine. And I think that that's just a testament to his development, too. His ability to stick with Jokic and actually make tough decisions and play rough and tough defense with him. He's making it hard for Jokic to just get to his spots, and he has the mobility to actually stick with him too. So Zubac, they have some guys that I think are going to get a little bit high. Like Norman Powell, you can't get worse than this. So I think that there has to be a break in the averages somewhere where you get back to what you were. Yeah, I'm not saying Norman Powell's going to go for 40 like he's gone sometimes in the regular season, but, bro, we got to get at least 17. We need a 17-point game. We need a 12.5-rebound game. Like, we got to get some shit going here, dude, off the bench. Chris Dunn is doing his job. Zubac is doing his job. Kawhi did his job. I think Harden is controlling the ball well enough. It's just the shot is not going. But
he got to get buckets. Because I agree that he is doing a great – he's always been more of a point guard than a shooting guard, but he scores like one of the greatest players of all time. But he got to get buckets. Like this team is built on him getting buckets. You ain't got to get a 40-point triple-double or even a 30-point triple-double, but he has to score in the 20s efficiently for this team to really be a contender.
Yeah.
Spike?
I agree with nothing. FIFA. Okay. Nah, all right. I agree with FIFA.
Man, Spike was asleep.
I was mesmerized by the Eagles background. You still got right there. Yeah.
Right. Winner circle.
Ken, I always say that we need to really seriously ask about this 1-800 Flowers sponsorship, because what a lot of people said about the Clippers, I was saying earlier, this is a whole Ty Lue. Shelton, was I not giving Ty Lue his flowers earlier? And then Q bringing up Zubac. I was trying to tell Lue about Zubac. He didn't want to listen to me.
Yeah.
Zubac played his ass off. So far, this whole
He starts strong every game, too.
Any guards Joker, probably the best that you're going to guard Joker. You're not going to slow. I mean, Joker's going to be. He had a triple-double, so you can't stop him. But he made it uncomfortable for him.
Make it hard.
Which is what you know what I'm saying? But what I want to say is what Q brought up was a player I forgot what's in the league, but again, when you go through Ty Lue's training program, you end up blossoming. Chris Dunn. Dunn has turned into a legit playoff rotation guy. And I like that. He kind of reminds me of he's now their new, I guess, Terrence Mann, who's now with, I guess, Atlanta.
Way better than what.
Well, I'm just saying he's their new, he's their new contributor that took that role.
Solid contributor.
I'm very curious to see how, we got to knock on wood for Kawhi Leonard and his injuries. But right now game. I ain't see Kawhi like that. If we had 2-3 years of Kawhi like that, we're talking about a different league as far as champions and all that stuff too. Because that man to go 79% on jump shots is nuts.
And turn around. I mean, them shots was crazy.
It's a lost start. It really is a lost start. Like the mid range. I think Kobe was smiling watching that because it's just dude, one dribble pull up inside of the 3-point. Two dribbles, spin off, you know what I mean?
Come and this on, is bro. Over 7-footers too. Like
Denver's and he was getting fouled on a lot of those shoots too, man.
A lot of them.
Exactly. And it's the road team. You're not going to always get those calls.
Of course not. Yeah.
But I really love what the Clippers is doing. What I'm more shocked is like Joker in the final minutes of these fourth quarters, especially these first two games, missing free throws. He in game one, he missed two clutch free throws that should have sealed the deal. And which kept the Clippers in it. Then this last game, it wasn't just him, but like Aaron Gordon missing the most wide open dunk since the dunk contest that I've ever seen that would have helped him extend the lead. And then Joker missed. I think he went 1-for-2 for his free throws attempts in the last 2 minutes. And then he made that desperation three after Brown missed his open three. It's just like they're granted they have a new head coach who just. Showing he got what 6 games on you now, mm-hmm. as far as how much he's been coaching, yeah. as professionally. So you kind of give that room for effort, but I can honestly make an argument that the Clippers should be up 2-0. Like they, as we all kind of acknowledge, they kind of let game one get away from them, but they had to get this one in. So they did their job as far as the road team. You just need to get one on the at still home court advantage, and now we're going back to LA for two. So we'll see how they do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if the series go to 7, but for me, the Clippers have to win this in 6.
Mm. All right, well, we'll move on to the Lakers, but I will say you guys are overhyping Zubac.
No, I mean, there's not that many great centers in the league, and Zubac does his job really, really well. So I'm gonna give him flowers.
Like he's always played.
No, he was terrible. Nah,
the Lakers could use him since we're going. The
Lakers traded him for Mike Muscala.
I don't care. I watched. Like I'm seeing what he's doing. It's not impressive.
Yeah, 16 and 12.
He's solid. Solid is right. It's super y'all. Y'all talking about this motherfucker solid, like he out there got solid, goddamn fucking Joker or something.
I ain't say he was.
I agree. You can't
just throw a bunch of white boys out there and tell them to go guard Jokic.
Defense on Jokic is great, but I'm not impressed. Like these are good numbers. He should do that, especially in the way that offense runs.
I mean, Ken, this is the reason why I'm gonna say he's super solid. If you see that the reason why he's scoring what he's scoring is because of James Harden.
That's a backhanded compliment, though. FIFA.
It really is. Wow.
It went from solid to super solid.
All I said is y'all are overhyping.
James Harden got a lot of people paid. He's like the
100%.
He's like Capella. Clint Capella. That's about to say. He's Clint Capella.
100%. We're not doing that.
Capella's one of the better defenders.
We are doing that because CP got Tyson Chandler paid the first go round. And David West paid. You know what I'm saying? Look, at the end of the day, point guards with a big man, this is why I always say a little guy needs a big guy to be effective. And obviously, James Harden is not like a 6-foot point. The dude is 6'5", 6'6". You know what I'm saying? The way he plays the game is that he's always going to hit the big on the rim run. You know what I'm saying? He's going to get him an easy 6 to 10 points a game. Now, if you could go find you another 4 to 6 points, now you a super solid big in the league. Right, and that's what Zubac has done.
That's not what I expected to see the way people were talking about him. I thought I was going to see Karl Anthony Towns.
That's the way y'all were talking.
Hey, Kev, but
in all honesty, he outplayed Karl Anthony Towns. But we'll talk about
it. It's within the function of the office, which
it's like Russell Westbrook. It's like Russell Westbrook with Steven Adams. Steven Adams is not going to, like, wow you with these Hakeem Olajuwon or David Robinson level defense, but he's not going to get 50 dropped on him, and he's not going to, you know what I'm saying, drop 50. But he's going to get you about 17 and 12, like, on a good night. And it's like, that's what you want.
Right. And you paying premium prices these days for that.
Yeah.
That's a double-double from a guy.
I remember when Sheldon, you already know that the Hornets gave a Bismack Biyombo about.
You remember? I was mad, Q.
Hey,
for doing half this.
I haven't heard that name in decades, boy.
You ain't missing nothing.
Didn't they give another big a lot of money to from UConn? What was his name? Emeka Okafor.
It's been a bunch of them.
Jordan was settling gambling debts.
No, that wasn't Jordan's guys.
Hakeem the Beat was somebody's. He was a top three pick, wasn't he?
Yeah. I thought he was gonna be nice though.
So did his mom.
Let's talk about the Lakers, man. Are the Lakers in more trouble than people thought with this matchup against Minnesota?
No, man.
Or was this more of a fill-out game for LeBron and company? Interesting stat. Let me just get through all this real quick. The Lakers have been held to under 100 points only 9 times this season. 3 of them were by the Timberwolves. The Wolves have 4 players over 6'8". 6'8". While the Lakers only have 2, and one of them is LeBron James. The Wolves are 7-0 when Ant-Man has 8 or more assists in a game. And lastly, since March 21st, only one other team besides the Lakers have allowed more made three-pointers.
Ken, I'm going to say this. When I watched that game, it felt like LeBron didn't know, like he was playing double dutch and couldn't get a rhythm. You know what I'm saying? Remember how we talked about before the playoffs started that when it comes to the fourth quarter, when Luka runs out of steam, this is LeBron's time, this, that, and the third. Again, it just looked like LeBron needs to dominate, but he doesn't want to step on Luka's toes. And that's what it looked and felt like in that first game. It's kind of like, okay, I'm deferring, I'm playing the guy. But it's like, nah, you LeBron, and we need you to be a premier scorer for us to be – you know, a championship contender. So I think LeBron's going to come out tonight, be aggressive, because that's typically what he does when he has a game like he did in game one. And we've seen it for 20 plus years in the NBA. He's going to come out and be aggressive. So that's what I expect. You know, the Timberwolves are really a good matchup, and that's why I love the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I still got the Lakers, but the Timberwolves are going to be a tough out for him.
You know what it is like the Lakers is like the main cast of Sinners, and the Timberwolves is like the vampires. Like, they're all outside. Oh, wow. And that's why they're about to get vanquished, because you can't run from the light. And LeBron James, at the end of the day, we do this like every year. Oh my God, LeBron lost game one. Is this the end of it? LeBron lost game one. This is the year. LeBron likes to defer to his teammates every game one to see who's going to come with me. I need to see something. Who's going to hit the corner threes that I need? Who's going to hit the top of the key three that I need? Who's going to be able to play defense in key spots? Who's going to quit? Who's going to play real D? This is the problem. It's really not a Redick thing. It's not a Luka thing. It's not a LeBron thing. It's just attrition and trying to figure out how we're going to attack this young team. Because the Wolves are nothing to play with. They're not – no disrespect. I got the Lakers in 6. I think that they should win tonight. And I expect it to be a hard-fought series just because of how much the Wolves can run. And they do play really tough against these Lakers for some reason. I think it's Ant Edwards' pride. He really leads that team in a different way. But I'm not worried about Luka. I'm not worried about LeBron. It's just you got to get Reeves going. And I think you got to be able to set something up with – not necessarily Jackson Hayes lobs, but you got to have the threat of the lob. So that means somebody's going to have to penetrate and be a threat from a floater position or kickouts as well. So just need a little bit more action off ball screens. Probably JJ will install that. But they looked a little bit stagnant on offense, and I think that they will correct that, because they said that they had their best practice in months. That's what JJ said at the press conference. So we'll see.
That's the worst endorsement ever.
Practice,
like AI. Hey, bro, kid. If we having the best practice, how many months into the season are we?
I don't think that necessarily means like they've had bad practices, but it's just like, yo, we've had our best practice in a couple months. Like, yo,
who is practicing now? You're right. In the NBA, why are you practicing now? They're gonna have to step up. The others is what my concerns. Like you said, Q, I'm not really worried about LeBron. I'm not worried about Luka as much as I am the others. I want to see what Rui gonna do. They gotta get Reeves going, and you are going to have to get some defense out of some of these other guys. We talk about them all the time. Gabe Vincent, kid, stepping up and hitting a couple shots. You need the other guys to make plays when you need them to make plays. They started out that first quarter with the lead, and they had opportunity to bury the Timberwolves. But they got some hot shooting. We talked about this before, how crazy Minnesota shot in that first game. Of course, that won't continue. You got to step up and play the better defense than you did the first game if you're the Lakers. You got to take pride in your defense, first of all. And the second thing is you're going to have to put the ball in the basket. And that's something that you're going to need, like I said, the others to do in order to be competitive in the series. And you can win it if you can go out and take Minnesota's heart. You are the big brother as far as this big brother, little brother thing with this team. And I think that Ant does look up to LeBron, which he does like the challenge of beating LeBron. He thinks he's one of the greatest players. So that's why he steps up so much for LeBron. But LeBron can use that to his advantage and win this game. And that's what they're going to have to do. They got to win. This is a must-win game tonight.
To me, this – I hear what Q was saying, and I guess there may be some evidence of that. But to me, I looked at game one more from a defensive perspective, not really offensively, because I don't see Minnesota being that hot. They broke their franchise record for playoff threes. You know, yeah. You're not going to do that every game. But defensively, obviously they let Luka do whatever he wanted to do, but they shut everybody else down. I mean, again, I asked how the hell did Austin Reeves get a nickname, but him and Rui only combined, they combined for 24 points in game one. Jaden McDaniels by himself had 25. You know what I'm saying? So the post game, JJ was like, we had a scheme to guard them defensively. We just didn't execute on it. I'm like, well, there was two halves in that fucking game, my nigga. Like, mm-hmm. Which one do you want to choose as far as where you're going to make your adjustments based off the scheme? So that's why I called him out. But, yeah, I just don't know who else is going to score. Now, if LeBron has a 30-point game and Luka has a 30-point game, they can, you know, take back they can take this game, too, and get back into the series. But like I mentioned with L.A., Minnesota already did his job. They playing with house money right now. If they win this game, bro, they going back and saying, look, we just need to win one of the next two and then win one more of the next three, and we good. So this is definitely a must-win game for the Lakers. I'll be shocked if they do not win this game. I actually can, to be honest, just because I said the Minnesota in six, but that was based off LeBron getting two. So if they losing five. Q, I know you laughing because it's only game one, but I'm just saying what I saw in game one, bro. That, bro, Minnesota put the clamps on them.
You think Minnesota can beat them in five?
Huh?
You think Minnesota can beat them in five?
If they win tonight, yes. That's on the table. But
even if I don't have them winning tonight. Even if they do win tonight, the Lakers win like the next two. Like, I just, like, I just don't believe that the Wolves have enough.
And on top of that, Ant didn't even have a great game, like, offensively for himself. Like, he did a phenomenal job, like, creating for his teammates, which I thought a lot of people talked about his maturity as far as being playing playoff basketball. But he, like everybody was getting theirs on Luka. That's the thing about this thing. It's like, you – as much as there's five people on the court for the Lakers, there's only four playing defense. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, as much as you're giving up, you scoring 37, but you probably giving up 40 plus on the other end based off, you know, who you're trying to guard, quote unquote. So that's my thing. Is like with Luka, like, you cancel out his production based off what he's doing on the other end. So to me, if Ant has a 30 plus game and you still playing defense like this, that what can the Lakers do?
I don't know. The way that the basketball works to me in playoffs is if your star is going to go off, normally you have to be championship pedigree to have other role players come along with you. Like, Jokic can go off for 30, and I expect Jamal Murray to get 30, and I expect Michael Porter Jr. to get you 17. I expect that. With the Wolves, they haven't done it yet. So I don't see a world where you get these contributions that you got game one from Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels getting 25 and all these other things. And then Anthony Edwards on top of that. That's just an otherworldly type of game. And if you're the Lakers, there's really not much you can do if that's going to happen. But what happens if LeBron or Luka just get it going and now the floor is opened up for just two of the Lakers guys? It makes it a much more even series. You got to expend a lot more energy on the defensive side for the Wolves. And I think that Luka and LeBron can kind of think this out a little bit more. And they don't really have the championship experience that LeBron and Luka do. Although Luka's only gone to one, going that deep as a playoff seed against the Wolves last year should give you some different looks. You should be able to go back and look at some different tape that you were seeing and put that into practice tonight. So I'm expecting 1-1. And I don't think that we should panic if you're a Lakers faithful.
Mm. Well, they better win tonight, and they better win the series.
Yeah, it's must game. It's a must win game. And he saw who took the first shot.
Yeah, so, and you're playing. The reason why I don't think they can come back and make it with it.
He missed.
It was a lot.
But, I think the hot shooting was an anomaly. You know, we know how these game ones can go. So,
The Lakers had a week off too. I also want to say that, like, that helps when the Wolves are fresh. The Wolves are very fresh. They're younger than the Lakers. Lakers have a week off. LeBron, you know what I mean? Like, so let's just see that. Hopefully, that amazing practice is going to come into play tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. One of the issues that I saw was Luka put up like 16 in the first quarter. LeBron put up 10 in the second quarter, and then Reeves put up 14 in the third quarter. Like, the three best players took turns scoring offensively throughout the game, but they didn't play well together as a unit throughout the game, and you just can't do that. So when you look at the box scores, like, oh, yeah, such and such did this, such and such did that, such and such did this. But, you know, you guys each took turns doing that, and that just won't get it done. When they're all cooking and playing well at the same time, then they're much better, and then that's when everybody else get involved, and Gabe Vincent will be out there, and Rui will be able to play better, and et cetera, et cetera. So, but we'll see how it goes tonight, and sure we'll have a lot to talk about one way or the other. But we're going to do another break, and then after that, we'll do the best thing in sports. And then we'll do We Need to Talk. And then we'll talk about the Eastern Conference series. And then, one of these conference series and a couple of, and then, of course, the Warriors and Rockets. But yeah, we'll hit all that right after this quick break.
If you're looking for real conversations and motivations to be your best, then you have to check out Another Week in the Books. Another Week in the Books with Spike Lee and Rich is your go-to podcast for growth and community. Plenty of dope conversations take place week to week as they inspire each other to be better through conversations. Another Week in the Books, wherever you get your podcast.
All right. So the best performance of the week was Mr. You got to put the Mr. on there. Steph Curry serving up the Rockets. If you are living under a rock, shout out to 12 Kyle. That's his catchphrase right there. If you're living under a rock and did not watch this, you need to go ahead and hit YouTube and see what's up. Because this past summer, last year during the Olympics, we saw a very similar thing against the French national team, where Steph Curry, when it came down the stretch, when you needed him most, he was throwing some junk up there. And Charles Barkley was being disrespectful, talking about it's luck. Any other player, maybe Dame Lillard, it's not luck. When Chef throws up that shot, when he's cooking the way he's cooking, that ain't luck. I saw this on social media. They slowed down the three he hit against Jalen Green, where when he's moving, he actually adjusted the ball for the seams before he shot that fadeaway three on the right-hand side of the floor. But nah, that's the best performance I've seen all week. Chef Curry still got it at age, what is he, 37? You know what I'm saying? He's coming up on 40. He still got it like he was still young. Chef Curry's the best thing I saw in sports all week.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Yeah, just move on.
You mad?
I'm not mad.
That's a dark skin hater right there.
I can just give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. I ain't mad. I just can give a fuck. You know?
Yeah, it's coming from the guy that said, "Can he create his own shot?" That's the guy.
FIFO, do you want us to go back to what you said about the Knicks? He was talking so much shit in the chat. Yeah. And when they came back and won, he was talking about seeing John Starks and all these motherfuckers in the stands. Like, nah, nigga, don't switch the topic.
That's crazy.
Hey, y'all needed a 21-0 run to win that game, but that's not the topic of
conversation. We're gonna get there.
That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about right now. We kind of touched on it, is the Atlanta Hawks future, man. I know we went around the room, so I got everybody's thought process. So I just want to switch it a little bit in terms of where should they trade Trae Young? Because I think it's about time. And I think the majority of us felt leaning a little bit more toward that way, but at the same time, what do you get in return? But we're not looking at it from what the Hawks get in return. Let's look at the best landing spots for Trae Young. Q, I do agree with you. I do like Orlando. The other place I do like is New Orleans, trying to pair him with Zion, you know, try to get Zion, you know what I'm saying, off the tracks, you know what I'm saying? But where do y'all think is the best landing spot for Trae Young?
Outside of Orlando, it's both teams in Texas, Spurs and Rockets.
Spurs, even though they traded for De'Aaron?
I think that De'Aaron Fox and Trae Young could actually play together. I know that's a little bit weird, but I think they could play together. It's a small backcourt, but I think they could play together if you, like, this is all hinging on if you're the Spurs, maybe you get Cooper Flagg too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it could be nice, but I think you got both those teams in Texas, and Orlando to me is the most obvious one because they just are screaming for a point guard that can create. Trae being there, I think Paolo would benefit so much from a guy with Trae's gravity as a shooter, and I think Trae's never played with a wing like Paolo, who's as young. So
yeah, what about Phoenix pairing him with D-Book?
It's too light skinned. I mean, it's way too light skinned.
Andy Book leaving.
It's like unless they putting together a DeBarge reunion, like I don't.
That's crazy.
They're doing a biopic.
I would say Memphis. If Ja Morant and Trae swap places, absolutely. Yeah, y'all look at me crazy.
Is Ja going to Ukraine to fight?
No, Ja coming to Atlanta. And we're going to let him do what he do in Atlanta, where it's a lot more forgiving than it is what he do.
You want Ja around YSL? Nigga, are you crazy?
I want him right there with Young Thug and Young and Lil Baby. Gucci Man and all that shit. Bring Ja to Atlanta and send Trae Young to Memphis, and I think that would be dope.
And they trying to trade Ja to Ukraine, nigga, the way he trying to shoot. This shit. Nah, bro. Orlando makes the most sense to me. I think New Orleans, if they keep Zion, it's just Zion's health. I don't know if they believe in him enough as an asset anymore for them to want to bring in another guy. Plus the whole DeJounte Murray thing, and then you just got away from Trae Young if you're DeJounte. It's like, damn, bro.
Well, yeah, I think you trade DeJounte, and you know, they got a new president of basketball operations, Joe Dumars, and he said he's not trading Zion, so we'll see. But, you know, they got other guys like Brandon Ingram that you can – you know, make it work, and DeJounte trading him somewhere else.
I say figure out how to get him in Sacramento and pair him
with DeMontis.
One playing defense. Nobody playing defense on that team. No, you got to put Trae around guys that can at least guard up. You got to at least give him – if the reason why I said the Spurs is because I think Wemby will erase a lot of any, you know, spacing issues if you keep Fox. I think you move off from a Fox if you get a Trae Young. But to me, Orlando has a defensive mindset enough with Jonathan Isaac. And I think Suggs, when he comes back, that you can play Trae Young next to Suggs off ball. You know what I'm saying? Paolo, that makes to Franz. Me. Yeah, Franz. To me, that meant Franz and them, that's a powerful starting five right there. And I think it makes the most sense.
What about figuring out how to get him in Houston in place of VanVleet?
That's what I said. Like, if Houston gets bounced out in like five or six and it's like a couple of those games ain't close, I think you got to look at, all right, VanVleet is not who we need. We need more shot makers and we need guys to distribute the ball. Who else better than Trae Young, you know?
Mm-hmm. That'll be that piece, that one piece.
Yeah.
And he's veteran, so.
All right, well, we'll be talking about the Warriors-Houston series in just a second, right after we talk about the Knicks-Pistons series. Yeah, man, so the Knicks-Pistons series and the Warriors-Rockets series are both in a similar situation where a young and experienced team are going up against an older, more seasoned squad. For now, the veterans have proven that playoff experience will take you further than youthful talent. What are some key takeaways from game one of the Pistons versus Knicks series? And a quick interesting stat for you guys. The Celtics, 14, Nuggets, 14, and Knicks, 10, have the most home playoff wins over the last two postseasons. I will start with you, Spike, if you have anything.
Yeah, your mic on mute. Your mic already know ain't shit going on.
It ain't football season.
Come back to me then. All
right.
So let me take this real quick. I feel like the thing that I saw in game one is that New York is in trouble because it took a 21-0 run to win that game. And we saw what happened game two. And realistically, Detroit, if they had more experience, they'd be up 2-0 right now. That first game, we saw their inexperience. But in that second game, we saw them tighten up and Cade Cunningham came through like a superstar should. All that being said, Ken, I still got Detroit in six. I feel that what I've been talking about in terms of Cat, we saw it in game two where he didn't score in the second half, bro. He did not. We're talking about arguably the best player on that squad. It depending on the game, is either him or Brunson, right? Those are the two best players on the New York team. And when your second best or best player doesn't score in a whole half, that's a major issue. And we know that it's not a skills thing. It's up here. So to me, New York is in trouble. They still need another guy. And Thibs is... he's maxed out what he can do with this roster, and New York is in trouble.
I'm ready to go now, Ken. Go ahead. No, go ahead, bro.
I was just going to say, to what FIFO says, I don't think it's a mental thing with Cat. I think that's being overblown in the media. I think it's more on Tibbs than anybody else. The best player in this series is Brunson, and I think that he will be able to pull them through. Cade is a beast. He just ain't. He doesn't have the playoff experience that they need to get them to win in six games or seven games. So I think that Brunson will be able to pull them through. But all this stuff about Cat being not mentally there, I think that's a facade.
Spike, he's going to we've seen it without Thibodeau. We seen him last season without Thibodeau, and that's the reason. And that's the reason why they couldn't beat Dallas, bro.
When they fire Thibodeau and they get Mike Malone, the old Denver coach, they're going to be unstoppable in the East.
You think they're not better than
Boston or Cleveland?
I really want to build on that on that point from Spike, because that's been my thing with the Knicks all season. The Knicks have a deeper collection of talent. They have, to me, better defensive players in theory and just historically from what we've seen those players produce in terms of. I think Brunson is tough as a guard. He's not all-world defender, but he makes it hard on guards. You got Mikal Bridges in theory and historically who's been a good defender in this league. I think that Mitchell Robinson is a formidable big rim protector, lob threat, and Josh Hart, all these different pieces that are right there to be used. It's just – it's like at a certain point, man, it's like I don't know if y'all watched that show on Netflix, You, season 5 is coming out Thursday, but – it's this story of this murderer who just everywhere he goes, people start dying. And wherever I see Tom Thibodeau, I'm just reminded of that show because offenses die everywhere he goes. Like collections of talent where, man, you got D Rose and Luol Deng and Jimmy Butler and you can't get over the hump. Okay, cool. You got Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns, who other people have seemed to have gotten more out of, from Steve Kerr to Chris Finch to Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. And when they're around you, they can't even be around each other. So now you're in New York. They trade the farm from Mikal Bridges because, you know, they're trying to bring the Noble boys back. And I'm looking at this offense. There's no motion. I'm looking at the offense. There's no improvisation. I'm looking at the offense. There's no second, third options. When you're on a basketball team, some coaches are creative enough that when they send you out for a certain play or if you have certain sets that you run, a system that you run, they say, all right, we're going to do this. Off the pin down, we got off ball screen, and we're going to get the shooter open on the right corner. But if that's not open, I want you to roll to the middle every time. They drill these things. You know what I'm saying? And then we're going to create a lob threat. Or I want you to drive to the blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? They have options. I don't see those options with Tibbs. I've never have. It's very stationary. Point A to point B. If that's not there, bring the ball out and look at me. I'm going to give you the next play. That's bullshit, bro. And I'm not going to put this on Carl Anthony Towns because why does Carl Anthony Towns only have 4 3-point shot attempts in the entire series? Like, you're supposed to be the greatest 3-point shooter of all time for big men. But your coach doesn't even recognize it enough to get you the ball. I'm not saying that the players don't have to play. Of course they have to play. But, bro, every time this man is around, people start dying. So I'm going to look at the person. It's making a murderer, and it's Tibbs, bro. I don't want to completely absolve the Knicks because their offense should be able to be overcome with those issues just because they have this collection. But, dog, it's like it's 60-40 to me, coaching versus players on the floor.
I would say 60-40 the other way because everything you said, you can say about Cat. He did. He falls asleep so many different places. When did we see him come out and just be a world beater where we said we can believe in Cat? I've never believed in Cat, and he continuously does the same thing. He disappears in big moments, and he left Brunson by himself. You're right, though. Thibodeau should have figured it out and figured out how to get him the ball more. But at the same time, as a leader of a team and as that dominant dude, I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get my shots and I'm gonna figure it out.
Cat, the leader, he's the leader of the team.
He's one of them. Yes,
he's one of them.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody is, but he's the new guy, number one. And I think that Brunson is the leader of that team personally. That's just what I see because Brunson's been there. They brought up the red carpet for him.
Look, you've played basketball. When you're one of the two or three most talented players on the court or on that roster, you are by default a leader. You may not be the leader. I agree. Jalen Brunson is the leader of that squad. But Cat is a voice. Cat is a voice because he's too talented not to be.
Not showing up at all, though.
You don't score in the second half. What do you mean?
Coaching. That's not him. That's coaching.
No.
Put him in a position to score.
No. This is the playoffs. And Shaq says it all the time, and I 100% agree. When you're one of those guys, hey, man, give me the damn ball. Y'all done came down here 3-4 times and didn't give me the ball. Give me the fucking ball. Move the hell out the way. I'm going to go get us a bucket or two.
What like, capability does Brunson play in this as a point guard?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say he does hold some responsibility as well. Like we said, he is the leader of that team and the team captain. As the captain, you're the leader on the floor. You're the coach on the floor. You know we got to figure out a way to get this guy involved. You know he's been missing. You know that. Like, you see that. We all see it. And I'm sure he knows it. He got to get himself going, but he got to figure out how to get Cat going as well. We know what Cat is. So it ain't like
– I'm not – Is it? Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, like, for me – Game one from a Brunson Cat standpoint is the version that is going to win this series. Brunson dropped like 34 game one. Cat had 23. That was probably one of the best Cat's playoff performances, period, in his career. That game one, he was scored offensively, and he had like what, four steals and two blocks defensively. Like he was doing a lot of good stuff, which is why it was so weird. It was like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde when, for game two, especially in that second half where I was disappointed because he had three shots, 0 points in 19 minutes. It was kind of like, bro, what's going on? And that's why I'm looking. I know a lot of criticism is going to be on Brunson as far as like he dribbles the air out the ball and he likes to play hero ball a lot. But I mean, at the same time, what I'm looking at it is he the only motherfucker that's like, all right, I'm if no one else is trying to take over, I got to take over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to do what's going to keep us in the game. And I know, and again, you live and die by that as a Knicks fan, but that's not how you win playoff basketball games. And that's the reason why I told y'all when we were picking a series, I was like, Knicks in seven, because they got to figure out this late game execution shit in this series, because the Detroit Pistons are not going to go down easy. Now, based off their inexperience, that's the reason why that game, like, if the Knicks would have won that game, I still would have felt uncomfortable going to Detroit just because it's like we could be down 0-2 as much as we could be up 2-0. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that we split is about as even as you can get in the series, all pun intended. So I think that game three is going to be key because we need to see Cat really demand the ball, or at least Tibbs create some type. You don't even got to create offense. Just give them up. He's the best player on the court, period. He's the most talented.
He's not going to demand the ball. He didn't do it last year.
But here's what you know what Nick
has to force. He has to be like Brunson, get that nigga at least.
But you know what, Nick? That's my problem is that to me, the Knicks have such a collection of talent already on defense and offense that you shouldn't be relying on Karl Anthony Towns every single game to have monster games. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but I think if you follow me here for a second, the way that there is just so much stagnancy and you need Jalen Brunson as a small guard to take over, that is indicative of almost every team Tibbs been a part of, where he's needed smaller guards or a guard to go absolutely crazy and everyone gas out on defense. We're going to switch, we're going to get over screens, and we're going to force turnovers, and we're going to play rough and tough. But you realize that that kills your momentum and your energy on offense, and now you just got D-Rose blowing his legs out trying to fucking go crazy and win every round, or you got Jimmy Butler trying to force you into a play-in game, what this is for the play-in, force you into an eighth seed. And now you have Jalen Brunson, who's, bro, I know this sounds like I'm glazing, but he has no choice but to manufacture points by flopping sometimes because the offense is terrible. Like, we have no looks. Everyone is covered up. There's no movement. Okay, throw my hands up. And I know that's not good for the game, quote unquote, but if you don't even have the ability for Karl Anthony Towns' gravity as a shooter to manufacture points for others, that's the coach, bro. And I'm looking at Tibbs squarely, and I don't want to put this on the Knicks. I think they're going to be able to figure this out in six. It should have been a sweep, but just because of their talent. But, bro, it's Tibbs, and we need a different coach.
Because the two players that I look at so much, and I watch the Knicks heavily, is Mikal Bridges and Cat. Bridges, I don't know what the fuck happened between Brooklyn to here, but the Knicks gave up a lot to get him. Even DiVincenzo, White Dante. So it's like Dante would have made some of them shots, especially at the end of game two. I seen it last year. You know what I'm saying? So so for us, I thought we were getting an upgrade because Mikal can play defense better than Dante, and he's supposed to still bring that scoring. But he's just been a spot-up shooter, if that, doing the runaround, run into a shot. And I'm like, bro, that's not your fucking game, bro. At least that's not effective.
There's
no backdoor screens. There's no easy buckets. There's no easy, but everything comes off of pick and roll, catch and shoot.
And right now it just seems like what we have during our worst version of the Knicks. The best version of the Knicks is that they're gelling and they look like game one. The worst version is game two, where it just looks like you mentioned, Q or FIFO. They look like a collection of just talented players. You know what I'm saying? It's not a team. Like, everybody is doing, like, Brunson is just doing the best he can to keep us in the game. And he's clutch as fuck in the fourth. That's why I was arguing with you, Sheldon, in the chat. Like, you talked about he choked. I'm like, nigga, how much more did you want from him? He had like 35 plus points. And I think he had like 8 assists. So, like,
I didn't say choke. I just said we can't call out one without calling the other.
I'm just saying, like, the looks that Mikal Bridges had in that game could at least tied or took the lead. You know what I'm saying? Make it go into OT. But I don't want this to be all on one thing. But I did say coming into the season, Tibbs, if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you need to get the fuck up out of here. But right now for this series, he needs to be able to learn how to work with Kat and Mikal and be like, bro, y'all need to step the fuck up. Because they both combined for, what, 20 points and as a duo? That's insane.
Yeah, this is – this could be potentially dangerous. This team is young, but they're confident. I would be concerned with them going back home, but I've seen them collapse in the fourth quarter twice. So they still have to learn how to finish these games. Mm-hmm. I think they got lucky after the game tied and Schroeder hit a three.
We giving him that shot every time.
Yeah, but they won, and they won the game. Whereas, you know, they gave up a 21-0 run, so I think that showed a little bit of composure that they were. But well, I wouldn't even say that. I think Schroeder showed composure because when the Knicks were on that run, I saw them still doing dumb, goofy stuff. But
we also can't neglect the fact that Detroit, to give them some props here. I don't want to just make it all like the Knicks are just, you know, but Detroit, they're playing good, great basketball in terms of just grittiness. I think that Kate Cunningham is brilliant as a basketball player. Creation, handle, pace and flow of his game is so, it's so sweet. It's like Grant Hill-esque. Like, it's really nice. I think that they have a collection of role players that try really hard and want to play, you know, together as a team. And you can see in how they move the ball. They're trying to be connected. JB Bickerstaff is doing a good job there. But they're still one or two guys away. Shit, that'd be a team Trae Young needs to go to. No bullshit. But this would be a really good series win for the Pistons. I just don't know if they have enough experience. I know people are tired of that cliche, but these blown leads, they exemplify why experience matters.
Yeah, Kate was impressive. If he can match Brunson's production, then you're looking after everybody else. And then it gets scary hours, just like it was for the Rockets. We're talking about another team that showed some inexperience in their game one versus the Warriors. What are some concerns that you guys noticed from that game? And a quick, interesting stat, outside of the Warriors being the only play-in team to win last weekend, the play-in teams on average lost by 19 points.
Wow.
Excluding the Grizzlies blowout, which would have brought the average to 32-plus points. The Warriors, meanwhile, won by 10 on the road. And the Grizzlies, of course, tonight – got destroyed again by OKC.
But it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad.
How bad was it?
Losing by 50, bro.
It was really bad.
I'm talking about tonight. No, I know 50 was bad.
Yeah, 20 for the playoffs is still bad.
No, losing 20 is bad. 50 is absolutely atrocious.
All I said, it wasn't as bad. I didn't say it wasn't bad. I just said it wasn't as bad.
Yeah, it couldn't be as bad.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But now, in terms of these Rockets, Ken, the first thing that I witnessed when I put the basketball analyst cap on is if the Rockets aren't generating turnovers, they're not scoring. Because they don't have a half court scorer go to guy. Jalen Green, I like him, but he's a full court guy. He needs to play in transition. He needs to get backdoor cuts and you know get easy buckets that way. Their offense doesn't really necessarily generate that. Amen Thompson, you know what I'm saying? As good as he is, he's not a fully developed product yet, and we're seeing that on the offensive side. He's even got lost a couple of times in defensive rotations. He's a great one-on-one defender, but you're seeing some of that inexperience. As much as I love Van Vliet is a lot like the point guard for Detroit. The point guard for Detroit.
Schroeder.
That's the type of role that Van Vliet should be playing as a backup guy. Been there, done that. You know, I could stabilize, but being asked to be the starting point guard and a offensive generator, primary playmaker. That just doesn't suit his game like that. Houston is just a work in progress, and they are maturing quicker than what they than where they really are because of Ime. You know what I'm saying? And that's the reason why we talked about what is the expectations for Houston. I said, depending on the matchup, they're going to lose that first round. And I got Golden State. And that's what I see. I just don't see how they overcome it. I think this is probably going to be a gentleman's sweep.
For me, I look at it like it's easy to say gentleman's sweep, easy to say Warriors are going to win. Not necessarily. I did pick Houston just because y'all know how I feel about Golden State. But
hater.
I will say this though. How many points Jimmy had like what 35 plus points? Like between Jimmy had a like Jimmy and Steph had games game one. Like Jimmy, they balled out. Like I don't necessarily see Jimmy Butler scoring 30 plus for the rest of this series.
Why not? Playoffs, man.
Yeah, it's the playoffs.
Yeah, it's 25.
It's superstar time. It's superstar time.
Okay.
Yeah, 30 something in the playing game.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. That's the game I'm
thinking about. You know, it's superstar time, Nick.
I get you, but Jimmy's not, you know what I'm saying? Jimmy does what he does to win the game. He doesn't necessarily score a lot to win you the game, if that makes sense. He's not consistent on that.
In the playoffs, he does whatever it takes.
Well, I bring that up because we're seeing this a lot in the West where it's just two guys that have to show up every night, you know what I'm saying, for a lot of these teams to win.
I love it.
And as much as I think Houston is very inexperienced, one of these games in this series, they are going to show up and they are going to score buckets. And I want to see how Golden State reacts to that, because outside of Steph and Jimmy, you don't really have anybody else that's going to give you a 20, you know, at least for me, from what I'm seeing, like an effective 20 consistently. Like who?
So you think Dylan Brooks is going to give you an effective 20?
No. I'm saying in one of these games you're going to get a random Dylan Brooks.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
Or say so. I'm saying like how does
now he'll
how
go off that, for like 12?
How does again like how do how does those games look like? You know, in that situation is what I'm curious about with Houston. I mean, with Golden State as far as like the consistency from their top two players. But Houston is definitely in trouble, and this is why they need to go get KD next season. They can solve all this.
Another murderer. Like another murderer. Man.
They can start all this over
lock
again
him up.
And be the number one seed.
Lock him
they
up.
Be the number one seed next year.
He's making a murderer.
I'm just saying.
But you know what, Nick? Even if they got KD, it's still not enough because for this only reason, you double team KD, you get the ball out of his hand. Where is it going?
Sengun. What you Green. Say?
Sengun is nice, but bro, he's not a bucket getter like that.
He's a number two.
No, he's really a number three.
Nah,
he's really a number
don't
three.
Do Sengun like that.
No, bro. He is. If he's your second best player, bro, you're not a championship contender.
No, I didn't say he's your second best player. He's your second best offense.
I think that Sengun is like the
DeMontis Disney Sabonis
plus version of Sabonis. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like it's
that's
like
what he is.
He's a really good offensive player, but if you need him to be your second best guy, I don't think that's
you're not a championship team.
What about you, Shelton? Thoughts on game one?
Shout out to the Rockets, man, because they did step up in the end and at least battle back, because I thought that Steph had took their heart. I thought it was over with early when Steph got going. But they came back. They battled back. They didn't win the game, of course, but they at least showed some fight down the stretch, which I didn't think that they would be able to do. And that was big for this team. But I think the championship pedigree that you have in Steph, you got playoff Jimmy. You got to give him that name now because Jimmy shows up in big moments. And it seems like them dudes been playing together forever, man. They look like seamless. You're right, Nick. They don't have that extra score like that. You got Pod. Kuminga's not getting any minutes. Did not play Coach's decision.
That's the politics thing.
That's
the underrated thing about Steve Kerr's whole tenure with Golden State is that he don't develop players. You know what I'm saying?
This doesn't have anything to do with development. This has everything to do with the business side of basketball. If you really
why you say that?
Go ahead, finish people.
This is all about contract negotiations. Kuminga didn't like the contract that they offered him initially. He's a restricted free agent. He's going to sign with another team, and the Golden State Warriors are going to match it. They're lowering his value right now. Go watch the Gilbert Arenas podcast. They break it down. They break it down 100%. I 100% agree with that. This is the nasty part of the of basketball. This is the business part of it.
Yeah.
Because they paid Jimmy.
Well, what was that, Q?
I said because they paid Jimmy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
my thing is this, Ken. Has Kuminga been in contract yet for the last 3-4 years?
Kuminga has been solid. Kuminga's been solid.
They've been saying he's supposed to be next up for the
man.
This is not basketball. That's a different conversation because it's like if you want to judge Kuminga based on the projections that he could have been a KD replacement, like some people foolishly said. And then the conversation became, oh, well, I think he still has star potential. That I think those two ships have sailed, bro. But he's on definitely
first watch.
I mean, for sure. If you believe that, cool. I'm not arguing that. I'm saying that we're now moving off of those things that have sailed away. So let's deal with what is. You still have a solid player in the league who can contribute, play defense, and he kind of has spats with Steve Kerr because of, I guess, the IQ side of ball, or that's the narrative that they want to run. But whenever I see him, there's no way that you can't put him in the series and let him run 12, 14 minutes a game. Right. There's just no way that you can convince me that he can't keep up with guys like Jalen Green, who to me still don't have the IQ to play NBA basketball.
Then tell Steve Kerr that. Now, granted, they didn't need it in game one, but
Steve Kerr's always been mercurial. Steve Kerr's always been kind of bitchy when it comes to his attitude with certain players, and I think that people kind of respect that, and they hate it about him as well because he'll tell a guy straight up, I'm not playing you. It's very Popovich-esque. But the series, as it's going right now, we're just seeing experience taking over and, you know, a top five player ever, in my personal opinion, just showing why he's top five. There's just no more flowers that we can give to Steph Curry besides greatest shooter, greatest point guard.
He's the greatest point guard ever.
And it's not black.
He doesn't even play the point guard position.
Yes, he does play point guard. He plays the point guard.
Where my weapon at? What I want to say is that I think that Kuminga got some folks on that podcast people are listening to. And planted that story because I think he getting paid what his value is worth, which is gonna be low.
And hold on. Q just said it. Jimmy got the big bag, not a little bag. He got a big bag and he's older.
I heard everything y'all said. I think he's gonna get paid the value he's worth. The other point I want to say, and then we'll move on, is that I made a comment that the Rockets are not a true number two seed. And somebody made a comment that how can they not be a true number two seed when they've been in the top four all season long? And now you're about to find out what I meant by that.
So, don't talk too soon, Ken. Don't talk too soon. Sean, all this episode, he's talking about don't overrate game one.
Yeah, I don't. It's not that.
What Kyle always say, it's early.
This has nothing to do with game one. This is just all about championship pedigree from three guys and a coach.
To like piggyback off of what Ken and Nick are talking about with the Rockets, one thing that's very interesting to me is how, for me, when I watch players like Jalen Green, I think he's a great athlete. I don't think he's a great basketball player. I think that he's very athletic, but I don't see the mind of the game. I think that he played solid defense on Steph Curry on a couple shots, but it's just certain decisions that I see him make. And I don't think it's all the way there yet. with the Rockets, they're far too young. They don't have guys that can go get a bucket and manufacture it when they need to, and that's the issue. I don't think KD solves that issue. I don't think that an old guy solves that issue. If you're going to try to upgrade this roster at some point, I think Jalen Green is the name that's going to be in any trade personally, because I don't think that his game warrants hands off him by any means. If you make a really good – I'll say right now, if they offer me Zion Williamson, I'm taking Zion for Jalen Green, because I would rather deal with what Zion has still left in the tank.
You want Zion to go to Houston, bro?
I'm shit. We already know how that's gonna go.
That's what I'm saying.
But at the end of the day, like, bro, you feel me though?
Q, I agree with your take when you were talking about Trae Young to Houston, mainly because Jalen Green. I said it last week. Damn, I can't remember the phrase I coined, but he's I said this about Desmond Bane. He's a recipient scorer. Right, like Jalen Green, you can't just give him the ball and be like, "Hey, go give me a bucket." He's a recipient scorer. If you get him on a lob, you get him on a back door, you get him cutting through the lane or something like that, easy buckets. Trae Young gives you that. He opens that up for those easy buckets to be gotten. You know what I'm saying? And he also he spaces the floor. So I think that if you do get, let's just say, This is very utopian world. But if you get KD and Trae Young and put that around Jalen Green and Amen Thompson, that's a whole. Now we're talking a whole different ball game.
I think the issue is that Jalen may have too many outside distractions. You know. So,
yeah.
We'll leave it at that. I'm gonna keep things rolling. You know, because we're coming up on time. So let's jump to the draft. So we're going to do the draft and hit the worst of the week. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try something different with the power rankings this week. And we'll see how it goes. So, but yeah, let's get to the draft, man. The 2025 NFL draft is less than 3 days away. And while we'll be covering the draft live Thursday night, we wanted to do a last-minute temperature check. Are there any hot takes on where a certain player should go? Or any teams that should trade for a specific player? Try to keep this brief, please.
I'll say two things. Number one, T-Mac, I think, is a little overrated, the wide receiver from Arizona. I think there's going to be other wide receivers that are going to have better NFL careers than him. And number two, I really think the Bears should try to get one of the top two running backs in Amarian Hampton. Is that his name?
Genty.
Yeah, North Carolina or Genty. They need to try to get one of those two running backs and keep
in the first
Swift.
Round. In the
yes.
first round,
yes.
This is a deep running back.
But those two guys are the most explosive running backs in this draft. And those, I think, Amarian a little bit more than Genty has that home run speed. But you pair that with DeAndre Swift and the O line that they just rebuilt. Because here's the thing: they didn't just go get guys that they think are going to be good. They got guys, as long as they stay healthy, are great O linemen. So I think that they are ready for a young running back to come in there and to help balance out that offense. And we saw what Detroit did. So you got the guy that was the architect of that with two running backs. Go get you a top flight running back in the first round.
Who they gonna get to play quarterback?
Who?
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Oh man, you already know.
I just had to mess with people on that. I had to.
Man, I feel like
better than that.
I feel like yeah. I feel like if Sanders doesn't get picked in the top three, I see the Steelers making a trade to get into the top 10. I would be shocked if they don't, just because you don't want to, you know, the Saints have said that they have no interest in getting Sanders, but like Kyle always says in our chat, everybody lying. So to me, I would be shocked if Sanders falls out of the top 10, especially when you have the Raiders and the Saints.
I know you wouldn't.
No, I always said. I said I was always arguing that I don't think he's a top three pick, but I said
so
that
who's
he's definitely top 10.
So who's trading back? So
I think the Giants, like if whoever the Giants are in a position where I could see them trading back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. But the thing is you said that if he gets past the Giants, so that means the Giants will be drafting somebody. So if they draft somebody not named Shadur at number three, then you got the Patriots, the Jags, the Raiders, the Jets, and the Panthers. So which one of those teams would you say would move back? You think the Patriots would?
The Patriots would definitely to get more draft capital, especially if they – because the top three is going to be Ward, Travis, and Carter. Yeah. So after that, it's kind of like I don't really need to be in the top 10 anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's, at that point, we just – those are the blue chips of this whole draft.
But moving down to 21, are they going to get the O-lineman that the Patriots would want?
Well, I would say they're mostly moving down, not just to get to 21, but like get an extra first round pick for next year too.
My hot take is like I've been saying, I think the Cowboys take Shadur.
What? How?
I've been saying. I think he's gonna fall.
What you gonna do with Dak?
I think you sit Shadur on some Jordan Love shit.
Look, Q. I wouldn't disagree if Shadur was being drafted like 20 something. But being drafted, the Dallas Cowboys have the 12th pick, and you have the highest paid quarterback. You can't have $300 million worth of quarterback, you know what I'm saying, on one roster, bro. Like, that just don't make sense.
I think that a lot of people looked at Green Bay similar to the situation. It's like, yo, you just paid Aaron Rodgers, why draft his QB?
That's true.
And
but
I'm not saying that he is.
The first round.
That's I understand, different. But I don't
the
think
money is way different.
I understand. I just don't think that Jerry is pressed for money when you look at what Shadur would bring to the Cowboys. I've been saying I don't like the Cowboys. I don't think they care about the logic here. I think this is Deion's boy.
Let's bring him in here. What you got?
I just think Shadur will get drafted before we have a chance to get him. As to what Q is saying. I would take Shadur over Dak, but he's not going to fall to us. It's not that's like a fairy tale thing in the sense of being a Cowboys fan. Like
some people got him falling to 20s, though, Spike.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
but the Cowboys are not going to be the team that takes him off the board. It's not going to happen.
Y'all need one of those running backs. You need Hampton, to be honest, but I don't think
we do. We do need a running back. We ain't taking a running back in the first round. It's going to be something like what they did for all these years, building the teams, building the draft picks. I don't think that Shadur, I don't see that.
I don't see that. Lou over here took 285 to get to downtown Atlanta.
Lou over here. He half sleep, half
he is.
Give me the keys. Give me your keys, bro.
I think Shadur gonna go to the Raiders, but I feel you though, Q, because we don't know what Jerry gonna do. But I think that the Raiders will take Shadur.
Why is it so insane to think that like 11 teams don't look at Shadur Sanders like he's that guy? I think that if you have Dallas staring at Shadur Sanders at number 12. I think Jerry's gonna be like, "Fuck it."
That's
not a bad. That's not a bad theory because FIFO said right now they're projected to take T-Mac. T-Mac ain't doing shit for the Cowboys next season. So, and I know what you're saying, Louis. I know what you're saying, Lou.
T-Mac.
The Arizona
one that said that Arizona. He don't watch no film.
Arizona.
I know who that is, FIFO. Stop it. I know who that is.
My thing is like it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to get a wide receiver when you can hit an Atlanta, hit a Green Bay, like you said, and invest in your future now because Dak is on his last contract with Dallas.
You can have
Dak be there, have Shadur sit behind him for a year or two,
and
let his ass go.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
He's gonna sit wherever he like I said, even if the Raiders draft him, he's gonna sit behind Gino.
Well, here's the question I have, Spike, because you've been caping for Sanders all year long. Why wouldn't you advocate? Are you saying that you would like them to take him?
Yeah,
but it just don't make sense.
If we could get rid of Dak, I would take him 100%. But I don't see there's no way that we can get rid of Dak and have him
as our starting quarterback and that work out for our franchise?
Like, I make a case? Can I make a case? If all right, everyone on here, listen, play quick scenario, 30 seconds. We're in the draft room. I'm Steven Jones, and Spike is going to play Jerry, and everyone else is the execs. If I'm Steven Jones, I'm looking at everybody, and I'm saying, look, we all don't fucking believe in this Dak guy. Okay, cool. We already know that we paid him all this money, and we fucked up. So let's look at what the trends are with guys sitting behind Jalen Hurts, sat behind Carson Wentz for a year. You have Jordan Love, sat behind Aaron Rodgers for 2 years. You have people like Brock Purdy, who sat in the wings as Jimmy Garoppolo was fucking up for the franchise, and they still were able to compete. So it's really a win-win situation here, guys. We can go out there, try to win with Dak, and if you know it breaks a certain way that he gets hurt, we have Shedeur Sanders, and now people want to see what he's made of. Or if Dak goes a long way in the playoffs and we win, we still have the franchise security set up. So why wouldn't we, if we really believe in this prospect, just take the talent instead of trying to go get an O-line or go get a running back? We can go get those guys in the second and third round. And then I'm looking down the field at Deion Sanders maybe coming to be a Dallas coach in a couple of years. Who knows? We got to leave everything open.
The problem with that, though, too, is you said
Dak has already gotten too much money.
If you Steven Jones, you ain't saying all that because there ain't no way Jerry letting you talk that much.
It's
either gonna be Jerry's idea. It's not happening.
Regardless of what Shelton's saying, we've already given too much money to Dak. There's no way that I can say, "Oh, I'm gonna let Shedeur come in and be quarterback."
But he'll be the backup though.
All right, y'all spending too much time on a guy that probably fall out of the first round, which is insane to be even having this conversation and seeing that it's going to happen.
He's not falling out of the first
round. Oh, me?
I'm trying to tell y'all.
Because you keep doing the runaround.
all Lou is saying is that I just can't.
Hey, yo, man, put your hot take so we can move on.
I would love it, but it's not going to happen though.
So what's your hot take for Thursday night?
I mean, we're gonna take a running back or a receiver, or some shit. Man, like
just
this.
About the draft.
There's
in
no
general.
Hot take. There's no hot take. We're gonna take a running back or a wide receiver, something like that. That's gonna help our offense. There's no hot take.
And you got nothing outside of the Cowboys.
No.
That you'll see. Okay. All right.
My hot take is that you're gonna see. Well, first of all, Jacksonville is the wild card. We don't know what Jacksonville is gonna do. That's where the draft is really gonna.
We asked him about hot takes. You were talking about the Jaguars.
The draft's hot take, though, Lou. So for the draft, that's when the draft's going to start, though. That's what, you know, whoever they select is going to determine how everything else falls in the draft. And I think you're going to see a huge trade.
All right. Worst of the week.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting for the graphic. All right. Were you okay? That's not the worst. Yes. Worst of the week, man. There's not much that I can say because I have rarely seen a 50-point loss in the NBA, let alone in the playoffs. But that was bad. Like, that was horrible. And I feel that even though, you know, they lost tonight, and it was only a 20-point loss, it feels like a championship compared to the 50-point loss that they took a couple days ago. But Memphis better figure something out, because if they get swept in this fashion, like, you know, on an average loss of 30-some points a game, oh, there's going to be some changes. You don't run that back. There's no way that you run that back. There's going to be some changes. So the worst performance that I saw last week was the Memphis Grizzlies in that 50-point loss to OKC.
All right. We are going to jump to your power rankings, and I'm going to try to go ahead and do this.
I appreciate you, Ken.
Let's see here. So give me a second, FIFO.
Yep.
I don't know how this will look with this video. If not, then I'll go to the other one. Let's see here.
All right, and the sake of you know, stalling just a little bit to get everything ready, the power rankings this week, and I said I was going to do it last week, is the top five most disrespectful dunks of all time, coming off of the heels of the top five dunker in-game dunkers of all time. So at number five, we got D-Wade over Anderson Varejao. And I got the clips. So I wait for everybody that may have not seen them or they don't remember. This is what is at.
30th in the league.
Let's play it right.
James. That block. Yeah, this is nasty.
I remember that.
Yeah, disrespectful. I was watching that live. Disrespectful. So that's my number five.
All right.
At number four.
Hold on.
This is I got you. At number four, this is one of Nick's all-time favorite joints. Extremely disrespectful. The person that was the body in this play, what was you thinking? Like, what the hell was you thinking? But at number four, we got DeAndre Jordan's lob over Brandon Knight.
That was huge.
Why did you, bro? You're like 6'1". Why did you jump?
No, this was like one of the first memes.
That was crazy.
Oh my god!
Lou, let him be.
Yeah, that was
this was like one of the first memes like in sports, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Brandon Knight played another game after this.
That was the last game he played. That was then Q. Q, I ain't seen him since.
No one saw him since. I think they just dismissed him. They was like, yo, man, just go ahead and go ahead and go on to Germany, bro.
Number,
you're ready to speak Chinese, bro.
And number three, I referenced because he was in my top five dunkers, in-game dunkers last week. But I messed up on who he actually dunked on. This is over Alton Lister, the Rain Man himself, Sean Kemp.
I remember this.
This one was nasty.
Who you weren't born in?
I was.
hey, that's a $50,000 fine in today's NBA.
Yeah. The cuff and the point.
Yeah. Bring back celebrations, bro. I'm tired of
all this. Yeah. 100%. If you don't like it, stop it.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All right. At number two, it's from my hometown. It's not MJ. I will say that. It's not MJ. But this happened in the playoffs. Scottie Pippen over Patrick Ewing. This is a disrespectful-ass dunk. Davis.
Oakley rejected by Grant.
Myers. Oh, yeah.
The point.
Yeah, it was rough. And then the push and the step over.
Stand over the
did you not stop my face?
Bro, come on.
Yeah.
You got to fight him.
Patrick Ewing felt the type of way.
Man, that's that good old Rudy Giuliani racism dunk, bro. That's like that's a stop and frisk dunk.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. Oh, we got a replay. Here we go.
Yo, watch Ewing push him out his face. Like he's like, man. Yeah. He's like, man, get your thing about
this. He walked over him, though. And he walked over him, bro.
That's the most disrespectful dunk.
Nah, nigga, don't put your anus anywhere near me, bro. Like, I'm not trying to see that, bro. Get out of here.
And that's why it's disrespectful. Shit. But the number one for me, and number one, number two, you know what I'm saying? Everybody can have their opinion, but guess what? Not everybody does the power rankings. So for me, number one is Shaq over Jared Dudley.
See, this is just
most disrespectful.
That's up there.
This is just this is the only instance of black and white racism I've ever seen.
Yes,
Yes.
Watch the push.
He said, yo, the way he throws the ball in him, yo, rewind that one time. It's not even the way he throws the ball.
Yeah, play it again. Play it again.
You ain't gonna wrap your leg around me after you
throw it. That's what I'm saying. He hit the
Shaq logo on you, dog.
No, he did the Shaq logo on you.
Shit.
No, bro, you can't do that.
Bro, the way he throws the ball, I'm like, what the fuck, Shaq?
And that's why it's the most.
And he had
come on, bro.
It was a hard R in there somewhere. I know it was. You can't tell me.
Sheldon, low key, he deserved it.
he did. Well, all you can do is throw the ball at him and put your hands up. Oh my God, that's funny. He's like, what the fuck, Shaq?
And Shaq was like, fuck it, I ain't got nothing to do with it. This ain't nothing. Like, I'm gonna run back up the court.
That's a what's the big idea here? You know? Like, man.